Amen. At this time, please open your Bible to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. As we continue on this marvelous evening our Lord is having with His disciples the night before His crucifixion. And again, He's given some extraordinary promises, teaching them things that are foundational in the sense of transitioning from the old covenant into the new covenant. When you factor in the fact that Christ, throughout His entire earthly ministry, had taught about His eternality and equality with the Father and His divine nature, now He is doing the Lord is doing the same thing with the Holy Spirit in these chapters known as the Upper Room Discourse. We are coming to a place where every man, woman, and child has strived for this one thing. This one thing. Everybody's trying to do it, but they're all going about it the wrong way, because there's only one way to get and accomplish this wonderful thing that we're going to discuss tonight called peace. Peace. Let's pick it up in verse 25. Let's read on to 31. But zero in when I get there to verse 27 is our text for this evening. These things I have spoken to you, in verse 25, while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you love me, you would rejoice because I said I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and He has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandments, so I do. Arise, let it go from here. Father in heaven, we ask that you be with us tonight as we look and ponder and reflect upon this passage. When we think of peace and how so many of us have tried to find peace and define peace merely on human understanding. And yet so often we not only define it that way, we try to accomplish it in the same way. So Father, help us to really get what you have for us here. Help it to that passage, the text, leave its impression upon us. Oh Lord, we pray that we would enjoy the truth of it, own up the truth in our hearts and our minds, and only seek the peace that you give, that you promise, and that you're are able to give. We add these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Just so you know from the heads up, I am not getting done with this verse tonight. Too much here. There's too much to share at the front end of it that I do not want to zip through it and we not savor what's here. So by way of introduction, several years ago, there was a classic work on history by Will and Ariel Durant, multi-volume, hailed as one of the greatest historical books of all time. They calculated of the previous 3,500 years that they were recording, the world had seen less than 300 years of peace. It's been estimated that in the last 5,500 years, there have been more than 8,000 documented peace treaties that have been broken. In fact, one went even so far to say every peace treaty ever made have been broken, because somebody in the two parties broke away. There have been more than 14,000 wars fought with a combined total of approximately 4 billion casualties. Peace in the international community does not exist. On a personal level, people want peace in their personal lives. They want relief from relentless pressures and the problems of each day. We say that people are seeking peace and quiet. We are told to make peace with our past. We expect law enforcement to keep the peace and to stop those who disturb them. And even at the end of a person's life, we always say the final word, rest in peace. Tragically, people go through their entire life left to themselves and they have no idea how to find true peace. Look at verse 27 in the first part. It said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you." That's all the farther I'm going to get tonight, because I want to take us through a journey, what I would say easily, a tour de force on the concept of biblical peace from God's perspective. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. In the Old Testament, the word for peace is the word shalom, used over 250 times. Shalom, by definition, in one aspect, referred to the absence of strife between people. This Hebrew word is not just the absence of trouble or conflict, and it also had a positive element to it, and that is that it means that when a Jew came to you and they would say shalom, they would say peace in the English. In essence, they're not only saying that we hope that you have a life free of conflict, they're saying we pray and hope that you have a life of completeness, of wholeness, of contentment, of welfare and health and prosperity and harmony, fulfillment. Might even add the word good health. Peace is one of those blessings that flow from a right relationship to and with God. True biblical peace does not depend on circumstances of life. If you're trying to find peace by making sure that everything around you is peaceful, you're going to be disappointed, because that's not real peace. One Greek lexicon defined the New Testament word for peace as a tranquil state of the soul, assured of his salvation through Christ, and so fearing nothing from God, and content with its earthly lot of whatever sort that is. In summary, this Greek scholar said the word peace in the New Testament is having a right standing with God and being there with such contentment that no matter what comes in your life, you're there with contentment. Peace to the world is the absence of war, strife, quarrel, disagreement, hostility, or unrest. They see it as a deliverance from the or the absence of any external conflict and all internal turmoil that results in an undisturbed, tranquil state of mind. That's why they're trying all kinds of bizarre things, anything to find peace outside and inside. In the Bible, we have, when you study the concept of peace, you'll find out that it's objective and subjective. Objective is the peace with God that we find in salvation. Subjective is the peace of God that reigns within the heart by walking in harmony with God. The objective peace in the New Testament is having a right standing with God. Subjective peace is the believer's experience of peace in his daily living and fellowship with his Lord. Neither one of those are possible for an unbeliever. An unbeliever cannot have either one of those peace because they have to bow to the person of Jesus Christ to get it. So let's talk about a moment, peace with God. Since the rebellion and the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis 3, the human race had been at war with God. Every one of us have violated his holy law and deny him his glory and therefore are his enemies. James 4, verse 4, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works. That is how you know that you didn't have peace with God, because you are an enemy, you are in hostility, because of your wickedness, because of your rebellion, and because of your wanting to live autonomously apart from God. The Bible calls this rebellion sin. We are sinners by birth, nature, and personal choice. This makes us enemies with God in the need of reconciliation and forgiveness. The good news is that enemies of God can be reconciled to enjoy eternal peace with Him. This is only possible through repentance from our sins and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I know a lot of this is elementary, but I'm inserting the importance of that. Apart from this, you will never experience the peace with God. There are a lot of people, professors, who are not possessors. They can talk a lot about it, and I can guarantee you, because of their simple talk about it, with no real substance that they are possessors of it, they don't have this peace. Not possible. They can talk religion all they want. They don't have a new birth. They don't have a Holy Spirit in there. They haven't made things right. It all comes down to this verse, Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't get any simpler than that. In the book of Acts, chapter 10, 36, it said the word what God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14 through 17 says it this way. This is a good nugget of everything I'm trying to say here. In Ephesians 2, 14, it begins, for he himself is our peace, who had made both one and had broken down the middle wall of separation. In other words, there is a wall there that separated us and that made us hostile to one another and enemies. He broke it down, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law, the commandment contained in the ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, therefore putting to death the enmity, that sheathing hostility. When we are reconciled, that enmity evaporates. The new birth comes and purges and cleans, flushes us out. And because of that, and he came and he preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. In other words, those who are far off with the Gentiles, those who are near were the Jews who were not in the right relationship with him, but through him they can have peace. And that's why the apostles, when they came out of this room, after they struggled with the darkness of Christ dying, being buried, 3 days later rose from the dead, once they saw his resurrection, everything changed. They went preaching everywhere. And they preached to Jews and Gentiles the peace of God that is only found through Jesus Christ. Only through him. He broke that wall. He got rid of the enmity. He reconciled us through the death of his work on the cross. Colossians 1:20 says it this way, and by him to reconcile all things to himself, by him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Romans 8:6, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Paul called the gospel of peace. We find that in the, of all places, that special place where we put on the whole armor of God in Ephesians 6. Verse 15, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Beloved, when we go out and share the gospel with other sinners, that is the gospel of peace. They can't find peace any other way. Everything you're hearing on the news, I guarantee you, you can, from this day forward, as long as you live, you will not hear on national news or any news station, any streaming service, anywhere beside from Christian, the message of peace through the gospel of Jesus Christ. It'll always be, let's work together and let be at peace. Yeah, let's have another peace treaty that we break. That is the peace with God that comes through Jesus Christ. Now we're going to talk about the subjective, the peace of God. There's only one great place to go for that one. Philippians 4, verse 7. And the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. This peace surpasses all understanding. The world cannot fathom it or comprehend the peace that God gives to those who look to him, depend on him, and live their lives to plead and bring glory to his name. They can't, that makes no sense to them. That's why it's beyond comprehension. It surpasses their ability to penetrate and understand. But we have experienced it and we know what it means. We don't deserve that peace. But he gives it to his people, to those who lean on him. Technically, those who lean on him in verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. That means no matter what's happening in your world, take everything in prayer with thanksgiving. Make your request known with supplication. And the peace of God will rule. This peace transcends human insight and analysis. God's peace. I love the text. When you take time to study it, God, it said that this peace out of Philippians 4:7, to pass with all understanding, will guard your heart. When you don't look to him, when ancient time comes, circumstances, doesn't matter, fill in the blank, whatever makes you worrisome, fearful, and anxious, you're not supposed to let it happen. What are you supposed to do? Lean it on him, go to him through prayer. When you do that, God will grant you and give you peace. How did he do that? He guards your heart. The word guard there is the military term. It somehow, mysteriously, spiritually speaking, he just kind of wrapped around your heart to keep you calm and at peace while everything around you is raging. You're either going to take him at his word or you're going to lean on your own resources and be fearful and anxious and fretful and worry. And we did honor God when we do that. We're supposed to be at peace because our Heavenly Father promised to take care of us. It is the idea of a garrison of soldiers around your heart keeping a watch over it. The peace of God protects believers who trust in Him from anxiety, from doubt, from fear, from distress. You can say whatever you want. I don't need all that. Dismiss this, that, and the other. If you don't have God as your source of trust and to lean on, you will not experience this peace. You can have the peace of forgiveness, but the day-to-day, tranquil, sustaining peace that he promises to those who look to him, trust in him, and lean on him will not be there. Well, I know I'm a Christian, but why do I not? Because you are doubtful. You question. Why? Why? What's going on? Instead of trust and faith. Knowing that God, our Father, knows what's best. This is the peace of God in the Christian life. Romans 14, verse 17. This is a really good verse. I wish a lot of Christians, especially in America, get a hold of this verse. It goes like this. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. What in the world did you just read to us, Pastor? Let me paraphrase that for you. The Christian life is not a party. The Christian life is all about living a life of righteousness and peace and joy through and in the life of the Holy Spirit in us. That's what it is. That's the kingdom of God. That's what we are to be doing. The next chapter over in Romans 15, verse 13. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Not because you're willing it to happen and you just grit it. No, peace doesn't come that way. Peace lets go of flesh, let go of one's own strength, and lean on the Holy Spirit and His power and leadership to guide. That's why Galatians 5:22 says that this kind of peace is the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of your human ingenuity, sick-tubeness, just making sure you just don't get distraught. No, you can't help but to get distraught. But when you lean, he enables and guards. When you don't lean on him, you're on your own. You lose that peace, that guarding of the heart. When we yield our lives to the control of the Holy Spirit, in other words, to walk, to live, to be led by, or to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we will experience this peace no matter what is happening in and around our lives. Doesn't mean that it doesn't hurt. It doesn't mean it's not stressful. But we don't give in to the fear, give in to the anxiety. It is very easy, especially nowadays, when you think of all of the talk about this, how busted and broken up and how at odds our nation and the world had become. Let me just give you a suggestion if you kind of want to have a little relief from that. There's a little thing on your remote called off. Yeah, it works. When you don't get that data, It had been proven there had never been a generation in the world and the history of mankind had ever been inundated with such negative barrage of information and misinformation at our generation. When you heard something 200 years ago, you had to hear it from the word of mouth of somebody coming by while you're plowing the field. Here, get the click, and we ask for it sometimes. We just turn it off. That's why I love my hearing aids. I don't have to listen to it all. Beloved, so no matter what happened, if we allow the Holy Spirit to do its work. Here's a good verse out of Job. Write it down. Job 34:29. When he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? Isn't that a good one? Who in the world can rattle your cage if he settles and quiets your soul? Psalm 29:11, the Lord will give strength to his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. I gave you the promise. If you go to each one of them and look at the context, it will always be in the context of a God-fearing person who trusts in God. Psalm 85:8, I will hear what God, the Lord, will speak, for he will speak peace to his people and to his saints, but let them not turn back to folly. Here's another one, one of my favorite. I have used it all the time in my Christian life. Isaiah 26:3, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. The word stayed means fix or focus. When circumstances grab your get your attention, keep them locked on him. He'll explain what's going on and how to navigate through it. Beautiful picture of it is when Peter took his eyes off the Lord and saw the wave, he started sinking in the water. As soon as he looked back at the Lord, he was safe. 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Have you not noticed how many verses I'm quoting to you and reading to you? 2 Thessalonians 3:16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace. Always in every way. The Lord be with you all. Hebrews 13:20-21. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, to make you complete in every good work, to do his will, working in you what is well pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Why did I read that verse? The reason is that a lot of Christians live at the end goal is peace, which is not. That peace is to lead you on to godliness, living a life that pleases him. But if you think that peace is the end goal, that is ridiculous, because God is the end goal. His glory is the end goal. To him, that's why we always say solo Deo Gloria around here. To God alone be the glory. Not peace. Praise God, he's the God of peace. He gives it. So, now that was all in the introduction. Look at the verse again. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. One thing you need to see out of that is Jesus is the source of all true peace. The peace that I give, my peace that I give. Throughout the scripture, the Bible makes it real clear that when you try to follow peace, real, genuine peace, there's only one source, and that is the God of peace. We find that in Romans 15, verse 33, now the God of peace be with you all, amen. Romans 16, 20, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you, amen. Philippians 4, 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, thee do, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul, when he made those statements, and the other writers, when they were making that statement, they were saying, don't forget the source. The source is God himself. 1 Thessalonians 5:23, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In closing, don't forget how Paul always opened up most of his letters. He always said grace and peace in that order. You have to have grace before you can experience peace. We see that in Romans, when he wrote, opened the book of Romans 1:7, to all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God, our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 1, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Galatians, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians, the same thing. Philippians, the same thing. Colossians, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I did want to drive one thing tonight. We all are wanting peace. We all strive and long for it. Those of us who have put their faith and trust in Christ for salvation, we have experienced the peace of God. But often we forget the means of grace to get peace with God. And that is, don't allow circumstances around you distract you, take your eyes off it, or to create fear and worry and anxiety in your heart. Keep your mind fixed on Him. He will get you through everything. Yet, you got to go through the tumultuous time, but you can do it steady with peace within, with strength and a sense of contentment, knowing that all things are under control. All things. God never promised that we may not suffer for the faith, but He always promised He would be with us. He always promised He would be with us. And many martyrs, I know this is going to sound like an oxymoron, but all you have to do is read the books of the martyrs. Many martyrs died with peace in their heart. Many of them died singing hymns while they're burning at the stake, quoting verses or the Psalms. Why? Because they looked to God and God had their heart and was guarding them at the very moment. And the moment they passed, they were in His presence. Beloved, our God is a God of peace. And that peace can only be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. We got a world who tried everything and anything. I'm going to talk about next week the world's peace and how they have tried everything in this world but the peace that's found in Jesus Christ. Father in heaven, we thank You for Your word tonight. When we heed these verses, when we read these verses in, understand these verses and meditate upon these verses, they will leave us with a profound sense of peace that it was intended to give. You take great joy and delight in giving us peace when we come to You and look to You, to be strengthened by You, to keep fixed and focused upon You. Lord, help us to love you as we ought, serve you as we ought. Forgive us of our sin, our doubts, our question. Lord, even forgive us of constantly want to blame somebody else for why we're miserable, bitter. Oh, Lord, do a work in us, in all of us. May we glorify your name. And may we know what it means when Paul said, and the peace of God will guard your hearts. Oh, Lord, help us to do just that. In Christ's name, amen.